We've been talking about what does God say about you from Romans chapter 8. Some call it the Great Eight from Mark Batterson's book, If. And there's some amazing things that God says about you. Here's what we've talked about so far. God has said that He is for you. He says you're not condemned. He says you've got the power. He says you are His. I have more for you. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's all good. We talked about no charge and the finger wag. We talk about you are loved. Last week, it was about you are loved. Our love can be fickle at times, but Christ's love is certain, unchanging, and is not based on your circumstances, your conduct, or your actions. Nothing can separate believers from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. The only thing is that we can frustrate the love of God by our refusal to receive it. We talked about, have you had that event horizon experience with the Lord, that point of no turning back, where He's your Lord and your Savior. You're going to walk with Him all the days of your life, and there is no turning back because you have had that amazing experience with Him. Remember, you can get all those messages online, or you can go to our app and get them all right there. We're going to continue on with our very last point. Would you stand with me as we read Romans 8, 37, as we read the Word of God? Romans 8, 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Maybe see it. We're just going to go through one verse today. Last week we were a little long, so this one's going to be a little short. Famous last words. No. Remember, I said we're going to point this one out here because I wanted to finish up, and I wanted to come back to this one because I wanted to talk about what does God say about us. And He says here, yet in all these things, yet in all these things. What was He referring to? All of these things. You have to go back up to the verse ahead here. He says, in all these things, when we talked about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. He said, in all these things, in all of these hardships, in all of these problems, in all the things that you are going through, the tough times that you are having, He says this, we are, say it with me, we are. He didn't say you were, past tense. He didn't say you will be. Someday when you get to heaven, you'll be a conqueror and it's going to be awesome. No, He says you are. That's present tense. That's right now He says that you're a conqueror. Not that you will be or you have to drum something up. He says your position in Christ, because you are His, is that you are a conqueror, a conqueror now, today, right now, as you're going through everything you're going through, the Bible says that you are more. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Him who loved us. Our title this morning is, what does God say about you? He says, you win. You win. You win the game. How many people here are competitive? Anybody here competitive? When you play, you can tell when you're competitive. When you play a board game, you want to win. Okay? You can tell when you're competitive. When you play a board game and you don't win, you're a little miffed, all right? You're just like, you thought, you know, I should have made a different move, and all night long you're thinking about what you should have done different there in order to make it, and you're a little hot under the collar. And all, you know, and there's other people go like, oh, I don't care. And they just don't care. And you kind of wonder, how could people not care about winning? It just seems like you should want to win everything, right? Competitive, 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 competitive. You know, me and the Robin and Nuri, Nimmer, about 10 years ago or so, I got the privilege of going to their home and got to pray with them to receive the Lord, receive the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate now every 6 months, a anniversary of that time when they really gave their life to the Lord, when they really allowed the Lord to change their life, and He's done so many amazing things inside of their lives. It's absolutely incredible, and we talk about it. Now, we are great friends. We are great friends. We are awesome. We're together on most everything. But at 1:25 today, we will be enemies. At 1:25 today, the Seattle Seahawks play the Green Bay Packers. And I see a Packer hat over there. Ushers, could you remove that man? Could you remove that man out of here? Bind him and cast him into outer darkness. No, but here's Robin right back there. We are great friends, but when it comes to being, I mean, she's a cheesehead. What can I say? She's a cheesehead. No, they're going to root for Green Bay. Because why? Because we're competitive. We want them to win. Some here, actually, some people in this church root for the 49ers. It's like the 49ers and then the unpardonable sin is right under the... I'm just teasing. It's actually the other way around. The unpardonable sin and then the 49ers. Just saying. All right, don't send me any email, please. The issue is, he's saying that you win. Do you live like that in your day-to-day life, knowing that you win? Or do you believe the enemy's lies to you, or the enemy's propaganda, or all of the things he tries to throw at you and try to confuse you and try to get you off your game and rattled and worried about stuff, and you're going, oh no, oh me, oh my. No, we win. You win. You win. You win. You're a winner. You are more than a conqueror today, right now, regardless of what issue, what problem, what item you're going through. You are more than a conqueror. You are not a loser, all right? You're not a loser. The enemy wants to think you're a loser. But actually, the big L belongs to him. He loses. He's the big loser. You win. You win. Know that, so therefore, we don't have to be depressed going through stuff. We don't have to worry going through stuff because we're confident that we win. We're a conqueror. You're a conqueror. You are a champion, my friend.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
I had a few mistakes.
I've made a few.
Do you understand that as a Christian? You are the champion of the world. I mean, that's what we are. Do we get it? Do we understand it? That song was written back in 1977 by Queen, We Are the Champions. While it never hit the number one on the charts, a team of scientific researchers dubbed it the catchiest song in the history of pop music. Nearly three decades after the original recording, it was voted the world's favorite song in a worldwide music poll. Isn't crazy. If the Great Eight were an album, More Than Conquerors would be the title track. It starts out with no condemnation. It ends with nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. All things work together for good, and we are more than conquerors. We win. We are the champions. We are the champions of the world. And we will keep on fighting, when? To the end. God made you a conqueror, Christian. God made you a conqueror. You can fight. You can win. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in. But you need to know that you are a more than a conqueror. And the issue is you win in the end. So keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep on keeping on. Keep on going. He's got your best in store. But even if you feel like you're losing a few battles, Even if you feel like you're not winning as much, you're still more than a conqueror, because the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord, and He is fighting alongside, with, and for you. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror because of Him who loves you. Of Him who loves you. We win not because we are so good. We win not because we are so good, but because He is so good and we are on His team. Let me tell you what, you picked a great team to belong to. You picked a great team to belong to. Because there are about 7,948 trillion in O right now. I mean, they're winning everything. It's crazy how much we're winning. The enemy doesn't want us to believe that, but we are. On October 7th, 1916, Georgia Tech defeated Cumberland College by a record-setting score of 222-0. 200, oh, those poor Cumberland dudes. It still ranks as the most lopsided victory in college collegiate football history. 222-0. Look at this. Coach John Heisman, who the Heisman is named after, ran up the score. He was the coach for Georgia Tech. He ran up the score. It seems like back then, also, margin of victory was important. This seemed to be quite a margin of victory. I think you can see up here, in the first quarter, it was 63-0. Second quarter, they scored another 63. In the third quarter, they scored 54 points. In the fourth quarter, they scored 42 points. So for a mere 222, they were shooting for 223, but they fell a little bit short. Can you imagine? Now, Cumberland scored, they ran for minus 28 yards. Total offense is what they had. Minus 28 yards. Georgia Tech, now you can think about this, in the time of football, of 60 minutes, that means that they scored on the average of every 1 minute and 53 seconds of clock time, they scored a touchdown, they scored a touchdown, they scored a touchdown, they scored a touchdown. That's counting the other team having whatever time they had in order to run whatever plays they could run. And then they just ran back over. You know, see, that's a convincing victory, don't you think? That would be like, hey, I think you're better than us. I think you are. Right? That's not a convincing victory. That is called a slaughter, all right? That is a slaughter. That's a slaughter. More than conquerors. I want you to understand what this word means, because it's going to talk about being a slaughter. More than conquerors. These three words, more than conquerors, the whole phrase comes together into one Greek word. Huperneikao. Huper, say it with me. Huperneikao. Everybody say it. Huperneikao. Okay? It means to vanquish beyond, to gain a decisive victory. Huper, the word hooper means over, kind of over the top, above, beyond, superior to, more than. The word hooper here is over and above, excess. It's a blowout. It's a slaughter. There's just so much. That's the word that is being used here. Like, uh-oh, means to subdue. To have the victory. I think Nike probably takes its word right here. Nike, N-I-K-E. One of the most famous icons that you will see. One of the most famous icons that you will see. And it's Nike is the Greek goddess of victory. Now, haven't we all seen the Nike swoosh, right? One of the most recognized, you know, Romans 8:27 is our Nike swoosh. We are the champions, my friend. You're the champion. In your situation, in your problem, and in your issue, when you're kind of taking a nosedive, we got to pull out of that and start realizing, wait a second, we win here. Wait a second. Things looking up. We win. I know how it ends. It's going to be good, even though we're going through tough times. Maybe God's using them to develop some character inside of you. That's all good. You got to know that you're going to win. You're going to win in the end. It means to hyper-conquer, to over-conquer, to conquer with success, to spare. Where's Roman at? Roman, come on up here for a second. Roman, come on up here. Here, grab that ball. Grab that. Now, let me tell you what it's like, what you need to understand, it would be like if Roman and me played one-on-one in basketball, okay? One-on-one. Okay, try to shoot it. Get out of my house. Come on back up here. Get out of my house. Hold on a second here. Okay, just a second. No, just me and Roman. Me, Roman. Okay, Roman's on that side. It's me, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James are going to. And we're going to throw in Shaq. And we'll put Klay Thompson in there. Okay, and we're playing a game. Come on, we're all going to play against you. We're all going to play. Come on, try to make a shot. Come on, shoot. Not in my house. Sit down, son. I don't want you to get hurt. Just go sit down. Now, if all of us played Roman in a one-on-five basketball game, everybody would be going, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. Oh, the poor kid. Now, you have to understand, that's how God wants you to see you in your fights, in your battles, in your issues out there, that you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost with you on your team, and as you are going through your battles and playing the game of life that you're in, you are, get out of here. We need to have some fun as we're playing this game of life. Swat some out of there. Have fun. Instead of thinking about, oh my gosh, he's going to beat me. He's not going to beat you. You're going to slaughter him. You're going to slaughter the enemy. Do we play like that? Do we live like that? Paul uses this word to describe us, to describe who we are as Christians. Regardless of what you're going through in life right now or how you feel, is that how you see yourself in the battles of your life? You win. Everybody say, I win. Say it like you mean it. I win. Now say it with intimidation. I win. You win. You win. You win. You win. I love, I was reading Mark Batterson's book. I'd like to get Mark to come out here sometime. I know Mark, and we're trying to see if we can get him to come out here sometime. Mark Batterson was describing being a fan of the Chicago Bulls back in the Michael Jordan era, when they were just winning everything. And he said what he would do is he would go to church because they play on Sunday, and then he would VHS it. Now, for some of you who've never heard of VHS, I don't know what it means, but it had a bunch of tape stuff on there, and you had this big cartridge, and you put it in there, and it did stuff. Now we just don't do anything. We just turn a button and we don't know where it is, but it's somewhere and it comes back out to us. At least then you knew it was on here. Anyway, he would VHS the game. He'd go through church and he'd try to get out as quick as possible because he didn't want anybody to tell him what the score was. So he gets home, he'd go home and he'd sit there and he'd watch the game and it was all wonderful. Now present day, we don't VHS, we DVR it, right? We DVR it. And so he's realizing he DVRs, but he does it a different way. Instead of just DVRing it, he does that. But he goes and when he goes home, he finds the box score. He gets the score, finds out, did they win or lose? And if they lost, he says, why subject myself to 3 hours of misery? I mean, I just don't like it. So I'm not gonna play it. All right, they lost. But if he finds out they won, he plays the game. He watches it. Now, sure, it takes out some of the suspense and all of that. But you know what it does? It doesn't matter how the game's going. If they're losing and they're losing and they're losing, he doesn't ever get worried. He doesn't ever get stressed out. He doesn't ever feel bad. He's just going to go and watch this, man. Watch this. It's going to be great. Oh, I hope they get down further because I know we're going to win in the end. It's going to be an awesome comeback. He is so certain because he already knows the score. And therefore, no stress, no worries. Do you understand that we know the score? You win. You win. You win. You win. Don't be stressed out. Don't worry. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to be good. Don't worry about it. What if we approach life that way? At everything that happens, instead of it seen as some catastrophe or some worry or some big issue, we just went to God and go, Lord, how are we going to get out of this one, man? I know we win. What are we going to do? It's going to be amazing. We win. You need to look at life differently. The problems, the issues. Instead of being drugged down by it, because the enemy wants you to feel bad and feel down and mope around, because if he can keep you moping around, you won't do anything. You'll stop. God says, just don't stop. Keep on keeping on, because you win. You win. Now, there may be a little pain in the midst of it, but hey, no pain, no gain, right? You know, there's a little pain in lifting, a little pain in exercise. I'm trying to learn how to exercise a little bit more. But without any pain, there's no gain. If you want to see your pounds leave, you have to do something more than eat. But I want to stay alive. I know you'll stay alive. But you have to do something more than just eat. Right? We got to do more. We got to do more. We got to do more. Remember, the win is never in doubt. So don't you doubt it. You may have some setbacks, but that means there'll be a great comeback. There's some setbacks. That means there'll be a great comeback. How many people out there, you won't remember this. How many people remember the Heidi Bowl? Remember the Heidi Bowl? Anybody remember the Heidi Bowl? Well, it was a football game between, I believe it was the New York Jets and it was the Oakland Raiders. They played a game. And what happened is, I think the Jets were ahead. Joe Namath was playing at the time. And they're ahead. And what happened is, Heidi, about this girl in the Swiss Alps, son, sit down. Do you want me to whoosh you? You didn't even look. Dude, Roman, come here for a second. Come here, hurry, run up here, 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 run up here. Come on, get up here. Hey, give me a big hug, give me a big hug. Oh, boy. Oh. I love you, man. All right, that's good. Release. Okay, good. All right. 10 grandkids and 11 soon. It's going to happen here any day now, any moment now, any minute now. If you hear Heidi go, ah, that means we're starting. And the Heidi Bowl, what happened was the Jets were ahead, and they thought they were ahead, and so therefore they moved it to the Heidi, which was this girl in the Swiss Alps, and all of that stuff. And so they did it, and there was only 60 seconds left in the game. So they said, hey, the Jets probably won this, so they click it over here all of a sudden. And we're all thinking, okay, we're watching Heidi now. We would like to have watched the last minute, but we can't watch it, so we're watching Heidi, hallelujah. We think the Jets won. Well, it comes back that Oakland won. You can be delivered of that as well. Oakland won. They scored 2 touchdowns. In 7 seconds. It was crazy. Everybody went, how did it go to you? Oh, but we were watching, oh, the hills are alive with the sound of. And we're going, what about football? Man, a lot of people were really mad. Nobody saw this awesome conclusion except the people that bought the tickets who were sitting there because they changed the channel on us. You can't have a great comeback if you give up. You can't have a great comeback if you give up. Don't give up, Christian. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because you're on the verge of an awesome comeback. You're on the verge of an awesome come back. Because God has his hand upon you, and you win. You win. You know, it's no coincidence that the word testimony begins with the word test. Pass the test, you have a testimony. You know, people go up here, hi, I was born, I lived, I had everything given to me on a silver spoon, I went through life, and then I died. Just want to give glory to God. Okay, well, people, all right, hallelujah, thank you for being born. That's good, you know. Most of us in our testimony is, hey, you know, I was born, and those, and then all of a sudden, I am carrying all this stuff, and all of a sudden, God, and I want to thank God. Okay? You see what I'm saying? We keep thinking, oh my gosh, you're going, oh, God, this is going to make a great testimony. That's what you'd be thinking about. This is going to be great. I'm going to get up here and testify about what God did for me. It's going to be awesome. God gave you a test so you'd have a testimony. It's interesting where they put the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was also called the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony, that ark that had the cherubim over it and the mercy seat where they would meet with God. The high priest met with God at this place called the Ark of the Testimony. The Ten Commandments were in there. The jar of manna was in there. And the Aaron's rod that budded was in there. The whole idea talking about God is alive and he moves in the ideas and the affairs of man. It's the Ark of the Testimony. We have a testimony because we have a God who moves on our behalf. He moves on our behalf. And he loves us so much. The testimony is of God and his faithfulness to us. Your testimony shows what God has done for you and demonstrates how faithful God has been to you. It's your meeting place with God. It's your meeting place with God. Going through a tough thing right now, God says, let's meet. It's time to meet. It's time to chat. It's time to talk. It's time for me to help you and give you insight and direction and thoughts and encouragement and motivation to make it through. I'm here for you. We're going to make a testimony out of this test. We're going to make a testimony out of this test. In meeting with God, we find out there's no addiction so strong that God's power cannot deliver. There's no failure so final that God's grace cannot forgive. There is no wound so deep that God's love cannot heal. No matter how bad it is, his grace is sufficient. And no matter how good it is, the best is yet to come. That's your God. That's your God. That's who you serve. In the 18th century in Herrenhut, Germany, Count Ludwig Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Say that with me. Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. All right. We're of German now. Founded a group called the Order of the Mustard Seed. Funny. What are you part of? I'm a part of the Order of the Mustard Seed. Oh, that sounds fun. Members included people such as the King of Denmark, the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, the Secretary of State of Scotland were in this group. The members pledged to be true to Christ. This is their pledge. To be kind to people and to take the gospel to the nations. They also pledged, look at these, some of these amazing people, all their wealth and influence to the cause of Christ. God, you put me here. You've given me. Therefore, I'm going to use it for your glory. How awesome, instead of, hey, I've arrived, look at me. It's, Lord, you placed me here. I'm going to use it for you, God. Most significantly, they started a prayer meeting in 1727 that would pray around the clock for 100 years. And you know what their rallying cry was? Their rallying cry your brand, your motto was this. The Lamb has conquered. Follow the Lamb. The Lamb has conquered. Follow the Lamb. Understand when we say that you are more than a conqueror, you're not more than a conqueror by yourself. You're more than a conqueror because you follow the Lamb. The Lamb is the one who conquers. You are following Him. Therefore, you are a conqueror. The Lamb has conquered. Follow the Lamb. The scripture in Revelation, some argue, was it about Christ or someone else? But it talks about to Him, and He went out conquering and to conquer. He went out conquering and to conquer. Now I saw the Lamb open the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked and beheld a white horse who sat on it, had a bow and a crown, and was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. We do know this, that he conquered death. He conquered sin. He is our conquering King. He conquered for us, so we didn't have to, but we're a part of him. Revelation 14, 3 through 5, it says this. He's our conqueror, right? He's the Lamb of God. Because he was a lamb who died and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, bled to death for us to pay that penalty, he conquered sin and death for us. But we're to follow him. In Revelation 14, 3 through 5, it says this. Remember, talking about the end. We win, we win, we win. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who redeemed from the earth. I don't think it's a literal 144,000. He's talking about a group of people. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who, say it with me, follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The Lamb has conquered. Follow the Lamb. Who are you following? Who are you following? Oh, no, I'm following the Lord. No. What about the doubt that comes to your mind? What about the mad at God? What about the issue? Why me? What about all those comments? Do you understand that we're listening and we're following? When we hear those words, the enemy who is trying to sow doubt, confusion, and disappointment into your life, that you might give up or just give in to everything the world has to offer. He wants you either to give up or give in. What will we do? What will we do? What will we do? Jesus is a champion, and we get to rule and reign with him. We're on his team, and we're champions too. We're champions too. I'm looking at a room full of champions. The breakfast of champions right here. You're on the box of a cover. You're on the cover of Wheaties. You get out and eat your Wheaties. You go, oh my gosh, it's me. And right next to you is a lamb on the box. And the only reason you're on the box is because of the Lamb. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget what Jesus Christ did for you to put you on that box. The Super Bowl champions. Do you know what the Super Bowl champions get? A Super Bowl ring. A Super Bowl ring. You get a Super Bowl ring even if you don't play a single down, or if you had a bad game, or if you were injured, you still get a Super Bowl ring. You know why? Because you're on the team. Oh, I don't do much. I'm nobody. I'm not a great person. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not a this. I'm not a Billy Sunday. I'm not anything. I'm just me. You're on this team? You get a Super Bowl ring. You win. You win. You win. You win. You get the victory because Christ gives you the ring and he has already won. Do you realize that in Super Bowl 45 is, I don't know if Robin, are you still here? Or are you up in the nursery? She might be up in the nursery. Oh, is she here? Robin, do you know who won Super Bowl 45? The Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers won Super Bowl 45. Aaron Rodgers was the most valuable player. Threw for 305 yards. Just a few statistics about my enemy. I try to learn about my enemies. Find out about the game today. And you're going down! No, I'm just kidding. Bring it, she says. Bring it. Let me say this. Let me brag on you for a moment. The Green Bay Packers won Super Bowl 45. Coach Mike McCarthy made a bold move the night before the game. He had all the players sized for Super Bowl rings the night before they played. Now, that takes a lot of guts as a coach, right? It's like, afterwards, well, whoops. He said, I want you to go in there believing that you already have the ring on your finger. Ladies and gentlemen, look down. There's a ring there. You're the champions. You're the champions. You're the champions. You're the conquerors. Enjoy the victory. Seven times in the book of Revelation, it says, to him who overcomes, and then he gives a blessing and a reward for doing so, a right to eat from the tree of life, to receive a crown of life, access to hidden manna, power over the nations, to become a pillar in the temple of God, to sit in the Father's throne. Why? Because they were overcomers. Overcomers. Same Greek word. Hupernikao. That's who you are. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're a champion over whatever's going on in your life. But how do you overcome? Not because you're great, but because you're on the winning team. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, has already won. Let me conclude. You know, in the end here, we're going to get a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. There's no more death, no more dying, no more crying, no more sighing, no more worries. Ever heard anybody say when you do something, you go, hey, no worries. It's kind of an expression now. No worries. Let me tell you what. That's exactly what's going to happen. No worries. And we think, oh, yeah, okay, cool. You know, kind of a fun little sentence, saying, there will be no worries. You'll worry about nothing. Now leave the curling iron on. Got to go back home and check the curling iron to see if it was left on. No worries. It's happened in my house a few times. Okay, just. Of course, I've had to go back quite a few times for what I left as well. So. No worries. How are we going to make the rent? Oh, what about, no worries. Oh, but I think I'm coming down with something. No worries. You win. You win then, and you win now. As I conclude, a review of this wonderful chapter 8 shows that the Christian is completely victorious. We are free from judgment because Christ died for us, and we have His righteousness. We are free from defeat because Christ lives in us by His Spirit and we share His life. We are free from discouragement because Christ is coming for us and we shall share His glory. We are free from fear because Christ intercedes for us and we cannot be separated from His love. No condemnation, no obligation, no frustration, no separation. If God be for you, if I could only take one page from this Bible, it'd be Romans 8 that I'd put in my wallet. John Bruce was a federal judge appointed by Ulysses S. Grant. On his deathbed, he instructed his daughter to fetch the book. He told her to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans, and he said, put my finger on these words. Quoted, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When his daughter found the words John Bruce told her to hold his finger there, and he passed away with his finger on that promise. What a way to enter heaven. Church, put your finger on the great eight and anchor your soul to its promises. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. That chapter is so full of everything you have done for us. How can we even comprehend it all, Lord? But to realize you are absolutely amazing. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for the grace you give us. We thank you that we're more than conquerors and that we will live with you forever and ever and ever. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your promises. And they're all given to us because of that great name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we humbly and confidently pray. And everybody said, amen. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. We want to pray for you to receive Christ. If you need prayer for something, come on up here. If you need healing somewhere, come on up here. We want to pray for you. Don't leave home. Don't leave home. Don't leave home without them. Don't leave here without them. God's shaking things up. We got a little globe going out there. We got the snow falling. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. My wife says it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I think God is just letting us know. He wants to shake us up because it doesn't become beautiful in that globe unless you shake it up. If God is shaking you up, He's just making you beautiful. God bless you guys. All you students are going home. When you go home, do me a favor. Live sold out for Jesus Christ. As you go home, don't sleep in until 4 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon. That's when we go to bed at 4 in the morning. No. Get up. Make your bed. Come down. Make breakfast for the family and have everybody go, oh my God, and have them all have a heart attack. And ask them, what happened? What? And you go, this is what Jesus Christ does in a life. I'll tell you what, you're going to have some younger brothers and sisters, older brothers and sisters. All of us are going to go home for holidays. You're going to have an amazing impact on their lives by what you do, by how you've been changed. Do something out of the ordinary. Love in a way that makes them wonder. Because that's how God loved us. Just pass it forward. I love you guys very much. God bless you. You're dismissed.